Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
All right, everybody, if you have a Bible, we're going to be in several portions of Scripture today. If you want to take and open up to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, we're going to head that direction. And big shout out to all the graduates. Big shout out to all the graduates. Congratulations. Congratulations. there's a saying that I remember back when I was going through my preaching training. There was a saying that got flipped around, and it's this. It said, "People get funny when you talk about money." And today we just have kind of a built-in off day between our series. We finished up our series on Amen, Amen, on going through those verily, verily statements in Scripture. If you weren't with us, I encourage you to catch up with those. But today I prayed, you know, Lord, what would you have me talk about? And I really felt the Holy Spirit said, talk about money. So I know some of you right now are clutching your checkbooks really tightly. See, but we've already taken the offering, so chill out. Okay, we're not going to have another offering. It's okay today. I was actually in a church one time in Chicago where they were trying to raise money for something, and they collected the offering, and they looked at the basket, and they said, that's not good enough. And they sent the plates around a second time. And we're not going to do that today. We're not going to do that. Why do people get funny when you talk about money? Well, for good reason. This week, I was listening, after I decided what to speak about, I opened up my web service to kind of look at some news. And one of the odd pieces of news is that God's people do some pretty wacky things in the name of Jesus. Last week, a Louisiana televangelist made the news for asking his congregation to give $54 million for a new private luxury jet. They already had three. Okay? And so the deal was that this one would help them save money because they could go further without having to stop to refuel. And the preacher went on to say, and I'm not, it's no use in saying name, I'm not interested in that, but it was just the subject matter was interesting. He went on to say that if Jesus were here today, he would travel in a private luxury jet. And I didn't know how to respond to that one. You know, because I know that there's a saying, everybody likes that, oh, what would Jesus do? That's, you know, if you get encouraged from that, fantastic. I'm not okay trying to think that I could possibly understand what would Jesus do in just about any situation except love. Now, what I am comfortable doing is say, do what Jesus said to do. But I know that Jesus doesn't think like me. I know that Isaiah 55 tells us that as far as the heaven is above the earth, that's how far above his thoughts are than my thoughts, his ways than my ways. So if you want to ask me what would Jesus do, I can do what he told me to do, but I don't know that I can really think like him. I'm trying to have my mind renewed, as I hope all of you are. So I'm much more comfortable in just obeying than trying to speculate, because I think a lot of us can get selfish and we can think things kind of like what I think happened here, which is God loves me, which he does. Can we all agree God loves us? And so we think worldly, if God loves me, then he wants me happy. And if he wants me happy, I need a $54 million jet that'll massage my feet while it drives. A, B, C. Now, you've heard me say many times, I don't really think it matters a whole lot to God if we have nice things. I think it matters a whole lot to God if nice things have us. And so that's what we need to begin to talk about. And that's what I wanted to kind of break in today. The article went on, and actually as I was on my way into church this morning at 6, the news feed had an update to this story where he kind of went back and said, well, we're not asking for money, we're asking people to believe us for that, which, okay, I'm not going to get into that. But the article said that another preacher came to his defense saying he would not fly commercial airlines anymore because people kept asking him to pray for them, and that was, quote, agitating to his spirit. And people wonder why church gets funny when we talk about money, because a lot of times we do some really, really ignorant or not good things. Guys, when I came to the church here, there was a lot of difficulty here. I mean, the church was financially, we had some pretty good hardships. We had a very large debt, and I remember those times. And as I spoke with individuals in the congregation, I heard this sentence a lot, or this statement, this thought, this sentiment a lot, that people felt that God or the church was conveying that God was more interested in their checkbook than he was about them. That is a very wrong and a very incorrect statement, a very incorrect thought. God doesn't care about your checkbook. God doesn't care about your bank account. God doesn't care about your wall safe and all your hidden things. God doesn't care about the big pile of gold you got buried underneath the ground next to the oak tree. What God does care about is you. Now, with that being said, Christ talks an awful lot about money and about our possessions. Do you remember the commercial of E.F. Hutton? Anybody remember back in the 80s, 90s, when there'd be a restaurant full of people and they'd all be talking, and they're like, so what are your trading philosophies? Oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, what do you think? He said, well, my broker's E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and the whole place would get quiet. And everybody'd lean in to kind of listen to see what E.F. Hutton said. When the church talks about money, people do the opposite. Nope. Because we all know that it's about, you know, I'm talking and already I know people are thinking, we've heard rumors, we've heard tale that, you know, we need to do some things to building and we need to begin to generate. And that's true. We do. We have some major, major issues. And it's going to take, as we heard for our offering, it is going to take some funds to do that. But I need to tell you here and now, it's not about your money. It's about God, and it's about God's love for us and how we can better convey God's love. And those are complicated issues. And we shouldn't be afraid to talk about them. We should be able, because Jesus talked a lot about money. And when Jesus says something about money, we ought to be like E.F. Hutton. We ought to turn our ear in. Jesus talked 16 of the 38 parables in the Gospels are concerned with how we handle money and possessions. 16 of 32. They said 1 out of 10 verses in the Gospel deal directly with the subject of money. By the way, 1/10 is the tithe. Which is very interesting, okay? But the church is scared and offended because we're afraid if we talk about money, we're going to make somebody mad, and then they're not going to give. You know what? That's between you and God. That is between you and God. So money, what I've seen, some people say, well, money is the root of all evil, and that's what the Bible says. No, it's not. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, I do not believe money is evil or good. But I believe that the love of money is a very, very divisive thing. What's really sad is I've seen in ministry money destroy marriages. I've seen money divide families. I've seen money cause unbelievable stress. Does anybody here in the room ever get stressed out about money? No, Pastor, we're full of faith. Yeah, of course. I get stressed about money. I get stressed about money issues, and I get there. And so as we begin to talk about this, let me again be very, very, very clear. God loves and God gives. So if God loves us and God gives, it's important that we must confront the erroneous thought that God wants what we have, not us. That's an immature thought that's prevalent in the church today. And so two thoughts on that. Number one is, many of us, we hide in our riches from God. We hide in our riches from God. What do you mean that we hide in our riches from God? We have this thought that our wealth or our possessions are ours. R-R-R. I sound like a pirate. Arr! We have this thought that our wealth is ours, our provisions, our possessions. They're not. They are God's. God gave us the abilities that we have. And so when we have this thought that we hide in our riches from God, we think that we can trust in our bank accounts. We can trust the focus of our lives. How many of you, if you get your quarterly reminder of your retirement statement and you see that it's grown, you feel good? Anybody? No, Pastor, we're not carnally minded at all. Okay. I do. You get your little statement, you're like, I wonder what's happened. And you open, you look, wow, hey, I feel good. I'm going to make it. And then the market recedes. Or the market adjusts. And you open up and you have a mild anxiety attack. Because you think, oh, I'm not going to make it. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, my dear church family, why in the world do we hide from God in our wealth? You see, Jesus talks over and over. Why do you worry about those things? Well, is Jesus going to pay my heat bill? The Lord is our provider. In fact, that's one of the names, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. Okay? And when we understand that, we can understand some great truths that He has for us. And that doesn't mean that we're lazy. It doesn't mean that we sit back. It doesn't mean we just hold up our bills and say, Lord, You take them, and you know, and no, it means that God will provide for us. Now, I guarantee you, if I look, my wife and I, we joke about this. Throughout seasons of our lives, that we thought, how in the world are we going to make it? You know, it's uncomfortable to share, but I'm just going to throw this out. I'll come back to that in a minute. We hide from God. I'm going to probably be mindful of time. We hide from God not only in our riches. We hide from God in our riches, but we also hide from God through our riches. What do you mean by that? I know many people who make this mistake where God is pressing on them for some part of their life and they try to pay God off. Well, I will do this. And if I do this, maybe I'll contribute to the building fund, or I'll do this. And because I write my check, I feel good. Now, God, get off my back so I can live how I want to live. Yeah. Got to call it out. We do. We think we can pay off God. That we can do something, or we can serve in some way. We can be generous. We can be kind. We can be loving. And because we do these things, we have somehow fulfilled our obligation. And then we can coast in our passion of pursuit of becoming more like God. Brothers and sisters, these are two sides of the same coin that say money is in fact an idol. And I believe for many people in the church, in the United States of America, I fight it in my life. Money becomes an idol. Our focus and our thoughts are far more on money than the one who owns everything. The one who has created everything. The one who has told you. And if God's not a liar, He says that He will take care of us. Do not worry. Okay, I won't worry. Why? Because I got my bank statement. Against this backdrop, Jesus gives some powerful teachings about giving. And that's our topic today. And I know some of you already are clutching your checkbook. That's okay. So skip the second slide. Why is giving important? Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 34. I like these first two words. Let's all read the first two words together. One, two, three. And what do we like to do? Fear. Listen how he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's what? Your Father's good pleasure to do what? I want you to know that giving makes God happy. God loves to give. For God so loved the world that He... In other words, because God loves God, does God have a problem with giving? Does God hold back in His... Look, I love you. I love our graduates, but I guarantee you I didn't take my only begotten son and shove him in a letter and say, here you go. Have a great graduation. Yet God shows us some tremendous things. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure. Not just pleasure, but good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, you've heard me talk about my special little buddy, my daughter's dog, Ollie. I was going to put a little video up, but people get sick and tired of my relationship with Ollie and they kind of question it. So I'm just going to let that go. You know how to tell, this is how I know my dog loves me. I could put my dog in the trunk and my wife in the trunk, and 30 minutes later when I opened up the trunk, one of them would be happy to see me. She's armed. Security! Security! Omaha! 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 Armed response. Where's my button? It's gone. Okay. All right. So, crazy woman by the cake table. All right. So here's the deal. Every time that Ollie hears me enter the house, I hear this scurrying. And he's running around. What are you doing? Next thing, he comes to me with something in his mouth. A pillow. A shoe. A blanket. A cat. He just kind of runs up and he just sits there, and he immediately, you know why? He loves me. And because he loves me, he wants to show me. He said, look, I've got you a present. I love you. Are you comparing God to your dog? No, I'm not comparing dog to my God. No. Okay. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Then it gets tough. You see, we're really good at that first sentence, and we're great. And then the second sentence causes us anxiety. Right there, sell your possessions. What? I was good with you that you wanted to give me the kingdom, but now you're telling me sell my possessions and do what? And give to the needy? Here's why you sell your possessions and give to the needy. You're providing yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Kinds of things. I want you to know, people, it just cracks me up. You know, I knew a lot of people back in the .com who were like, oh, we're set for life. And we are, you know, we're living high on the hog. And next thing you know, the financial statements come by and the .com bubble, or some people who just lost it with the housing, the real estate bubble. Nothing in this world is a wise investment, gang. In terms of they rise, they fall. I've known individuals who've lost and who've won fortunes over and over. And I got to tell you, it's fool's gold. You are never truly secure unless you're secure in Christ. You are never truly secure unless you are secure in Christ. So why in the world do we worship that idol? Verse 34 tells us why giving is important. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Three quick points, and I mean quick points, as to why giving is important. Number one, because eyes are watching. Now, some of you are thinking, what do you mean? Your people are watching how we give? Yep. Well, Pastor, get out of my business. Some of you right there are like, well, I went to a church in Chicago once. It was pretty interesting because you walk in and on the wall of the congregation was every family in the church's name and what they gave for the past couple of Sundays. And you're thinking, I don't want to go to that church. Sure, because we like our privacy. I like my privacy, don't right? I mean, would that make you comfortable? Okay, so before people kind of lose it here and think, where are you going with this? No, we're not going to do that. But it's important that we do understand that eyes are watching, mainly Christ's eyes. I know for those of us who say we take our bill and we try to fold it in a way that it makes it look like there's 70 bills instead of one and put it in there and we try to do whatever we can, or we crumple it and put it in the thing so it looks like there's a whole bunch there. May I remind you, Ananias and Sapphira, it didn't work out too well for them. Yeah, you honesty. Can we all just say honesty? Honesty. It ain't about how much, it's about your heart. And we have to grow up. Your giving is an important window. And if you think, well, that's not a scriptural thing. Yeah, sure it is. Our giving affords us a window to our heart. for God and for us. Giving is that important. Christ watches us in how we give. And Jesus doesn't want us in self-denial. I mean, think about this. In Matthew chapter 5, 23 through 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in the front of the altar and then go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come offer your gift." You know what? God wants you to be honest and integrous and not hold things back. Your giving is an important window. And if you think, "Yeah, I've got some bad relation issues, but I can go ahead and pay God off and it's all okay," God's saying, "No." Let's go on to the next one. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Here's why eyes are watching. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watch the people putting money into the offering box. Right there, some of us would say, "Jesus, you may leave the fellowship. Mind your own." Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow, you know the story, came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. Then he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly," here we go, "truly, amen, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contribute out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had." Brothers and sisters, God gives us a window into our heart through how we handle our possessions and how we handle our money. You know what? And if there's something that I probably need to ask your forgiveness for, it is this. I haven't preached enough on stewardship. And here's why. Because most people I know who preach on stewardship, they are kind of like that $59 million pastor. They have some agenda and they want to squeeze the congregation to get a little bit more, a new building or a new something or a new whatever. Giving is not about those types of things. Do not worship a building. This morning, we'd be better served to go outside. It'd be a whole lot cooler. The air conditioner's not hooked up yet. We got her up there, but she ain't hooked up yet. God loves a cheerful giver. Can we all just say that? God loves a... In 1 Kings 17, the prophet Elijah goes to this widow at Zarephath. And he says something interesting. She was if you read the scripture, it says that she was about to scrape some oil and some flour together and make a cake so that her and her son could eat and then die. That's all they had left. They were in a bad place. And here's what this dude said. "Make me a cake first." What? I read that and that smacks to me of, you know, someone asking everybody for $59 million. You know what? Before you do what you want to do, before you do what you need to honor me. I wouldn't feel comfortable asking you for that. And I look back and this is why this individual, this is why Elijah asked her. Because, and how can I say this without coming across as self-serving? Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. God has a principle that many of us are doing that same thing. We're so concerned with having to take care of ourselves that we eliminate seeing the hand of the Almighty God do a miracle. God is your provider. And many of us miss that because we're so busy taking care of ourselves. And that goes for your mental health. That goes to your physical health. And that goes to your financial health. That goes to your spiritual, everything. We try to take care of ourselves so much that we eliminate, and we just get in the way and we push God to the back. Let's go on. Second thing. So eyes are watching, right? Eyes are watching. Our eyes are watching in Christ. Christ knows everything you have. You're not Ron Burgundy where you've hidden gold all over the place. No, Christ knows everything and he knows what has your heart. Second point today is God wants us to give so that we can receive. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give us salvation, right? So quit trying to work for your salvation. Well, I just wear myself out trying to do good deeds. Why? So that I can get into heaven. If you think you can do enough good deeds to get into heaven, you need to go back to Scripture because you haven't read it correctly. You can't. But what you can do is understand that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom and everything. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap..." Come on, church.
Sparingly.
Come on, let's all read together. Continue. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God wants to give us so that we can receive. Receive what? Receive eternal treasures in heaven. I've had to confront that theology many times. People say, well, why are good works important? Good works are important because good works don't earn your salvation, but good works do store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You will be rewarded. Your salvation is based on you putting faith in Christ and what He has purchased for you. But I hope that we really understand that there are some tremendous, tremendous blessings in heaven. And there are blessings here today. That widow at Zarephath, as long as she continued with him, the blessing and the provision of God rested on her household. What an awesome story. I encourage you to read it. I encourage you to read that story. And my third and final point, somebody say amen, it's hot in here. Yeah. And this is probably the most important point as we get ready to collect an offering. I'm just teasing. My most important point is this. We are like God when we love and when we give. God loves, God gives. When we love, we are like God. And when we give, we are like God. So a couple questions as we kind of ponder this. Number one, it's a fair question. Why do we hold back? Why do we hold back from giving? Well, I just can't afford it. Well, the widow at Zarephath couldn't afford not to. Thoughts on that. So we are like God when we give. So why do we hold back? Do we hold back of fear? Do we hold back of doubt? Those aren't good reasons. The next question is our giving in accordance with our blessing? Well, I don't have very much. Considered with the majority of the earth? Woo! Be careful saying that. Do we give in accordance with our blessing? Do you really think that you have outgiven God? Third question, and this is a legitimate one, do we give in obedience? You know what's sad is most people consider the tithe, oh, giving something. The tithe means the tenth. The tithe, literally, the word tithe means the tenth. In Malachi, it talks about, hey, you've robbed me. How is a man going to rob God? And he says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Well, preacher, why, you're trying to make the church poor. Trust me, if you knew me, you'd understand. Giving opens up the windows of heaven so God can pour us out a blessing. Not pour a blessing out for us. No, pour us out a blessing. You want to have blessed ministry? You want to affect people? Quit hoarding. Understand that God wants us to be a river, not a reservoir. And our philosophy in economics has, and it's not an unwise, Bible tells us that we're wise if we store things up for our kids. I'm not telling you to be out of compulsion and to make very, very poor decisions financially, not by any stretch of the imagination. I'm telling you, honor God first. And God wants to pour out a blessing through you. And we do that when we do not have money as an idol. So do we give out in obedience? There have been times that the Holy Spirit has moved upon my wife and I to give in ways that made us very uncomfortable. And that people would have said, well, that's not a very wise thing. And all I can say is we've seen the hand of God sustain us. I'd go into more, but I'd need to ask her permission first. And she has a knife, so I'm going to be very, very, very careful. Last two questions. Have money or possessions become an idol? Guys, it's legitimate. Have money or possessions taken the place of God? Do we live our lives in the shadow of our bank account, or do we live our lives in the shadow of the cross in obedience? And finally, it all comes down to this. Do you believe that God is your provider? Do you believe that God is your provider? God loves and God gives, so we should love and we should give. And God has been more than generous. Anybody, has God been more than generous to anybody here? Although my earthly father had a lot of issues, and I don't know that in many ways I could say I really want to be like my dad, my heavenly father was my father before my earthly father was. And I want to be like that. Anybody, you know, if you're like me and maybe you had some issues with your parents, you've got a Father in heaven who is generous and has provided. And I hope we can all kind of come to that same page. I want to be like that. This is one way.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.